Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
All this news and off-season quarterback questions and coaches and coordinators and the cycle, it consumes us during the week. And then on the weekends, it's all of the action. So it's just a lot. The college games, they're separated a bunch too, which is odd. I know it's part of the expanded playoff. I don't think that that's great for college because out of sight, out of mind a little bit. And the NFL tends to dominate right now, not just the news cycle, but also the games and the broadcasts. So it'll be interesting to sort through and see kind of the fallout or the results of TV viewership when we have a chance post championships being crowned. But for now, it just seems like we're stuffing it all into January. At A-Law Radio to find me online, and then our Facebook page too. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. We'd love for you to vote for Monday MVP. Got another half hour or so on our show Twix 2 at Amy After Hours. And then when we get to the candidates for TD of the week, same place, you'll be able to vote there as well. So now we're down to four teams in the NFL playoffs, but bigger news even on Monday that, yes, the Dallas Cowboys will need a new head coach for 2025 as Mike McCarthy and Jerry Jones and the Cowboys organization mutually agreed to part ways. Oh, what does that mean? We're pleased to welcome John Machota from the Dallas area, longtime insider for the Cowboys, now with The Athletic. Ultimately, John, why was this decision made?
It sounds like that the number of years could be maybe a sticking point there. Jerry wanted to go more short term, maybe only a couple years, whereas I think Mike McCarthy would want more stability for himself and his assistant coaches. So I think that was part of it. And then I think ultimately that they just both sides agreed that it'd probably be better for both if they move in another direction. It's kind of fascinating, though, because Jerry's talked every which way over the last few months, and it makes you think that, oh, he's just going to find out a way to, like, you know, do it what he's done with Dak's contract and CD's contract, and just like, well, the deadline's Tuesday, so he'll get something done right before Tuesday. So waking up today and getting that news, you're a little surprised.
It's interesting to hear some of the reaction around the football world, as certainly the Dallas Cowboys are one of the most recognizable sports teams in the universe. One of their Hall of Fame quarterbacks, Troy Aikman, was on Monday Night Football, the pregame show, saying that he's not sure the job is as attractive, or to be the head coach of the Cowboys is no longer as coveted as it used to be. I know you quoted this online. So what's your reaction to what Troy had to say?
I'm not that surprised because, I mean, Troy is very plugged in. He obviously knows a lot of people in the Cowboys organization. He obviously knows a lot of people across the NFL. And in his heart of hearts, he wants the Cowboys to do well. I mean, there's no doubt about that. And so for him to say that, it doesn't surprise me, because I just feel like hearing him talk about the Cowboys over the last 4 or 5 years, I feel like he's been trending in this direction of just kind of almost beaten down with the way that the organization makes certain decisions. And it's entertaining to me because I don't know that it would work, but one of the best moves that Jerry Jones could make for the fan base is to make Troy Aikman the general manager. Now, you can make the argument that anybody other than Jerry being the general manager would make fans happy, but Troy is just so beloved by the fan base, and he does shoot you straight on a lot of things. And so that's the only reason why it didn't surprise me that he said that about it being as coveted. I still think it is one of the top jobs. The thing that I go back to, though, is Jerry Jones doesn't pay at the top of the market for head coaches. And so he believes that to be the head coach of the Dallas Cowboys, that guys will be willing to take a little bit less. And he hasn't been one of those guys that's paid really at the top like you would think. You know, Mike McCarthy, I think in this last year, was around $7 or $8 million, whereas you know there's coaches that are making $17, $18 million a year. And you would think, just because you probably see and hear these Forbes lists every year that come out talking about now the Cowboys are worth $10.1 billion and then it'll be $10.2 billion. I think most people would assume this is the wealthiest sports franchise in the world. They probably spend like it, and that's not necessarily the case.
John Machota covers the Cowboys for The Athletic and is with us in the wake of the news that Mike McCarthy and the franchise are going in different directions. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. There had been at least one request from the Bears to speak to Mike McCarthy, and Jerry Jones of the Cowboys denied that. What are the chances, do you think, that McCarthy pops up at another job even before next season kicks off?
It's interesting because when you say the thing about them denying the interview with the Bears, it raised my percentage chances of Mike McCarthy coming back significantly, because I just didn't think that the Cowboys would do that. But maybe it was part of a negotiating thing where Jerry thought he could drag this thing out and eventually McCarthy would give in, and that didn't end up happening. But I will say I do think the Bears would be a great fit for him. Obviously, his ties to Green Bay and the division, but I just think he would be outstanding for a young quarterback like Caleb Williams. And so a lot of things there make sense, that he would bring stability to a franchise that doesn't have a lot of stability right now. And then the other one is the Saints, just because he was an assistant coach with the Saints for a long time. He has connections with that organization. They're also in a similar spot. They need some stability. And I certainly think he could bring that. So it makes sense that other teams would be interested in him. I always kind of wonder too, if, like, you know, some people might look at the Cowboys job and go, yeah, well, Mike McCarthy in those 5 years, he didn't win any more playoff games than Jason Garrett did in his last 5 years. But he won 12 games in 3 years in a row. And I think other organizations might look at it like, wow, you were able to do that in Dallas? You know, what could you possibly do here?
Agreed. So, John, what have you heard so far about the Cowboys head coaching search and where they go first?
Well, the only thing that's really come out so far is that Jerry had conversations with Deion Sanders today. And obviously that is a very on-brand Jerry Jones move to do, because there's not a name in coaching that would get more attention than Deion Sanders, especially with the Cowboys ties, which is just, it's fascinating to me. I don't see that happening. I don't know that Deion would even want to coach professional athletes, but obviously you'd listen if Jerry calls, and they're obviously friends. But that's the only name so far. And believe me, I get what Jerry's doing there, because everybody will talk about that, and it'll be fascinating. But the thing I keep coming back to with that is, after the games are over, Jerry walks out of the locker room, most people are going to go talk to Jerry over the head coach of the Dallas Cowboys. Well, if Deion Sanders is the head coach of the Cowboys, that changes things. And it hasn't been like that around Dallas for a while. I mean, you probably have to go back to Parcells. Was probably the last time where there was really that type of, you know, head coach with that type of a personality that could kind of rival Jerry. So maybe it would be a good thing, but I still think that that's a long shot. I think the name to really focus in on here is Kellen Moore, the Eagles offensive coordinator. And if the Eagles are a team that they're looking great right now, let's say they go to the Super Bowl, Kellen Moore will be a name on a lot of people's list. But I just know that Jerry Jones really likes Kellen a lot from his time playing with the Cowboys as a backup quarterback, then as the quarterback coach, and then as their offensive coordinator. And Kellen and Dak get along really well, and they liked working with each other. And let's be honest, whoever gets this job, it's going to be all about how you work with Dak Prescott. Dak's guaranteed for the next 4 years at $60 million per year. He's got more stability than any coach they're going to hire. So that's the best feather you're going to have in your cap, is I can do this for Dak Prescott. I can make Dak, raise him to this level. And I think Kellen Moore is a name that would be very high on Jerry Jones and Stephen Jones's list.
Knowing what you know of him from his time in Dallas, is he ready to be an NFL head coach, not just a coordinator?
I think he could be. I think you'd be at best pairing him with a former head coach as maybe the DC, which could make some sense to keep Mike Zimmer, because they do really like what Mike Zimmer was able to do during the back half of the season. And as the defense really kind of became more of his defense, as he was kind of melding things together from Dan Quinn's defense here. And I know Micah Parsons really liked Mike Zimmer a lot. And so if Mike Zimmer wants to keep coaching, that could make sense, where Zimmer would be the DC, Kellen Moore potentially the head coach, offensive coordinator, and he would have you know, a former head coach, a veteran coach to lean on in that situation. I think that's what would really be needed, because like Kellen Moore to me is just not the guy right now to like really be like yelling at guys and getting in their face and like, you know, being that fiery type guy. But I've been a Duke basketball fan my entire life, and John Shire wasn't like that as a player either, but he's grown into that role as Duke's head coach, and I just see some similarities with Kellen Moore there. So there'd probably be some growing pains along the way, but I certainly could see them having mutual interest in it making sense.
Considering that Jerry Jones started this season by saying they were all in, and how he does have Super Bowl aspirations, it's been nearly 30 years, how patient would he be with a younger candidate or an inexperienced candidate to grow into the role?
Yeah, he probably wouldn't be that patient. I just don't know who else is out there where it would be a fast, like quick fix, because, you know, a lot of these names that people jump at, they were all available last year coming off of what I say is arguably the worst loss in Cowboys history, that loss to the Packers where they were just destroyed and the Cowboys were the 2 seed and the Packers were the 7. And you can easily make the argument that the Cowboys never recovered from that, and it had residual effects throughout this entire season, that loss. But at that time, you could have moved on from Mike McCarthy, and you could have had Jim Harbaugh. You could have had Bill Belichick. You could have had Ben Johnson. You know, you could have had Mike Vrabel if you really wanted him, and they really didn't move for any of those guys. So who is the one that is the answer, you know? And I don't know if they're even available with whether it's age or former coaches, you know, John Gruden, Pete Carroll, names like that. Like, so I just feel like if you don't go for the former head coach, you're going to go with someone with some inexperience. And I think because of Kellen Moore's ties with the organization, that might be a better fit.
John Machota is with us talking about the Dallas Cowboys. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. I was going to ask you, what was their ultimate downfall this season? But you mentioned the carryover from that loss to the Packers. How do you think it impacted them?
Oh, that big time, especially at home. I mean, you go into that Packers game and they felt like they had everything locked up, and not locked up, but everything in order, because of the fact that, you know, they were riding a 16-game home winning streak. So
right.
No team was even close to that. So over 2 seasons, you just own every team that you play at home. So you're thinking, man, we backed into this 2 seed. We're getting the Packers. They're coming into our building. The Cowboys were a 7-point favorite, and then they're just down 27-0 late in the first half. The final score ended up being way closer than the actual game was. It was never really a contest. And so when you have that, I just find it hard to believe that they just quickly put that behind them. And then the season starts and they're just awful at home. That first 5 or 6 home games were just terrible, just getting blown out by, I mean, they even got blown out by the Saints, who, I mean, they were the first team to move on from their head coach, you know, this past season. And it just was a bad look the way the whole season started. And that was before they, you know, had the injuries to, you know, Dak Prescott that ended his season with a hamstring. And then obviously CeeDee Lamb with his shoulder. And the offense just wasn't anywhere close to what had been in the past. And they made mistakes in the offseason. They didn't do enough to upgrade the roster. Jerry Jones did Mike McCarthy no favors with what they did with that roster. They had 2 rookie starters on the offensive line, and that was a mistake. And the running back by committee with Rico Dowdle and Ezekiel Elliott and Dalvin Cook, that was a mistake too. So it's certainly not all on McCarthy, but I think Jerry wanted to give him one final season on that contract to kind of maybe right the ship, and obviously that didn't happen.
Where is the optimism for the Cowboys in 25?
I'll be honest with you. I don't even think it's like that far-fetched to see them turn it around in one offseason. If they make the right head coaching hire, I could see a path where they use the 12th pick and get an instant impact player maybe on defense, or draft a running back like Ashton Gentry, and they have success like they did in 2014 or 2016 when they were kind of coming off seasons where, you know, people didn't really have that high hopes of them, but they identified the right running back and took things off of. In 14, it was off of Tony Romo's plate, and they ran more with DeMarco Murray and led to Romo's best season. And then in 16, they drafted Ezekiel Elliott high, and that ends up leading to this great 13-3 season where they're the 1 seed with Dak Prescott as a rookie quarterback. If they got the running game fixed, I could easily see this team turn it around quickly, but you got to make the right move with your head coach, because there are plenty of weapons. Micah Parsons on any defense alone is going to make it decent, and they have other pieces around them. Guys like Trayvon Diggs, DeMarvion Overshown, Jerron Bland. And then on offense, if you got that running game going to pair with Dak and CD, no, you could turn this thing around pretty quickly. I don't think it would be a long rebuild at all.
What gets them back over that hump then, other than the leadership? Do they need anything else?
Yeah, they could definitely use a number 2 wide receiver. There's no question about that. They have not been able to really get that guy off of it. of CeeDee Lamb since they've moved on from Amari Cooper. And so certainly they could use that. I just really feel like if you get the right voice in there, you'll have a spark. Whereas I just really didn't feel that, whether it was through training camp or going into this season, it just seemed like everything was kind of going through the motions. And that can be on coaching, but that can be on the front office too, because it is top down. And waiting forever to get that CeeDee Lamb contract done, that didn't do anybody favors. Doing nothing in the offseason other than in free agency, other than adding a one-year deal on Eric Kendricks and then Ezekiel Elliott, that didn't do anybody any favors. And then to wait till, you know, a couple hours before the season opener to get Dak's contract done, that wasn't great. And then you have the injuries on top of that. So I just think if you bring in a new voice, there'll be some new energy. There's some new things to get excited about going into training camp. And I think that would be a big boost to coming off of what has been obviously a very disappointing season.
When you think about the Commanders and the Eagles, now you've got two teams from the division that are still alive in the playoffs. What stands out about the two teams that are still playing?
Yeah, it's crazy to me how, like, if you just get, you keep the game close when you're Washington, Jaden Daniels just gives you such a chance in those, you know, whether you talk about the fourth quarter or even final drive. And so, you know, going into Ford Field in Detroit, that's going to be a tough task for him, no question about it. And so, you know, he's going to have his hands full, but if you allow him, you know, the time to make plays, he can carve you up, because there's nothing about him that looks like a rookie, especially when it's in the clutch situations. And you saw that at LSU, obviously. So for me, I think that's the biggest thing. I just don't see a path for Washington beating Detroit without Jaden Daniels having just an incredible game, which he's certainly capable of. And then Philadelphia, I mean, Philadelphia is as hot as anyone right now. And so them getting the Rams, you know, I think it's a good matchup for Philly, especially with it being outside and being in the cold. You know, how that affects that Rams offense, you know, we'll see. I was kind of surprised to see that the line opened at 6 points for the Eagles. I thought it would be a little bit closer than that. But no, the Eagles are rolling. I think that they'll have a tough time, you know, going into Detroit if that ends up being the NFC Championship game. But by all means, I mean, if they stay relatively healthy, that Eagles team has everything on defense, on offense. I mean, really, it comes down to, can Jalen Hurts, you know, take care of the football and make a couple big throws here and there. And that Eagles team could easily go back to the Super Bowl. So it is interesting times in the NFC East, because I really thought it would be, you know, Eagles, Cowboys again. I still thought Washington was at least another year away, but Dan Quinn has done just an incredible job. And obviously, you know, same thing for with what they've done with Jaden Daniels has just been sensational. So it is interesting how, covering the Cowboys, you're just kind of look at Washington for such a long time. It's like, yeah, whatever. And then as soon as they sell the team, like literally immediately,
right,
the spark is lit and they become a formidable foe again.
I saw that you posted a list of repeat champions around the NFL and the other divisions, and it just does not happen in the NFC East. Why do you think that's the case now for 20 plus years that a team can't win back-to-back titles?
It's absolute insanity. It makes no sense. It'd be one thing if there was at least one or two other divisions where it's like, well, yeah, that one's hasn't had a repeat champ since like 2015. It's just like everybody, it's this year or last year. And then there's the NFC East, which is like 2004. Like, it's just, it is crazy, because yeah, I do think that there's obviously a lot of parity. I mean, it is a very, you know, traditionally it's a good football division, but at the same time, let's not act like there hasn't been a long stretch where Washington was down or the Giants were down, or, you know, it's like Philadelphia has been the most consistent and Dallas has been right there with them. But it just doesn't make any sense how someone hasn't been able to put it together back-to-back years, whether you're talking about the Cowboys having Dak during this stretch or coming right off the heels of having Romo. You would have thought that there would have been at least one year where the Cowboys won it back-to-back. So yeah, no, that is absolutely stunning. And it would not surprise me if there's another different champ next year. Obviously the favorite right now would have to be Washington.
Well, that's something we haven't said in a long time.
Crazy.
At John Machota, JonMachota. And now there is a coaching search underway. He covers the Cowboys for The Athletic. Thanks so much for a couple of minutes and the intel. We appreciate it.
Absolutely. Anytime.
Was it about length of contract? Was it about difference in philosophy? John is speculating about some of the reasons, and I'm sure there are many ideas and concepts, opinions, hot takes out there. I thought what he said about Kellen Moore was fascinating. Remember that Mike McCarthy and Kellen Moore don't want to say they weren't on the same page, but McCarthy didn't necessarily want Kellen Moore. He was grandfathered in as part of the previous regime, if you will. Didn't last the whole time that McCarthy's been there. A couple years ago when, shoot, where did he go first? Oh, Chargers, right? Chargers first. And then got wiped out as part of that Brandon Staley change. And now is with Philadelphia. And yet that could be the hottest candidate. Huh. I would think with a team, as I said to John, with a team that is supposed to be on the verge of challenging for division titles, getting back to Super Bowl contender status, as Jerry believes that they are, and even as John said, they're not that far away, would Kellen Moore be the right head coach? I don't know. It's hard for me to imagine. But he certainly does have a lot of respect among the players already there. So it might be different if they didn't know him. But especially the offensive side of the ball, worked with him extensively for several seasons. That's an idea. At A-Law Radio, on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence, if you want to vote for Monday MVP, we're getting ready to unveil the candidates for TD of the week. They're definitely scintillating. See, even if you didn't think the games were good, some of the individual scoring moments can be. Also, did you happen to see how one Philadelphia TV station opened its broadcast on Monday? You guys thought I was joking when I was talking about reading a book on the sidelines of an NFL game. Some of you who didn't realize what had happened. Thumbs up or thumbs down on the wild card weekend and the expanded playoffs, because I think that's a byproduct. 855-212-4227. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
That's a book that I bring every single game. And, you know, my teammates call it The Recipe. You know, that's the first time I heard that y'all got me on camera. But that's not the first game. You know, it got a lot of points in there. It's a lot of mental game, a lot of mental parts about it. And, you know, because for me, you know, this game is mental. You know, I physically believe I can do anything and everything, but, you know, I got to make sure my mental good. It's something like how I refresh every drive, you know, regardless of if I...
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're planning on betting the NFL playoffs, buckle up. Betting football's hard enough as it is. We're doing the research for you. So listen to Cash the Ticket with Mike Valeni and I. We'll be dropping new episodes for every single playoff game. And that's going to be storylines leading into it, so some good football stuff, but also the betting nuggets you're looking for. Sides, totals, trends, player props, throw those in there too. Pre-game and post-game, we're going to be all over the postseason. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Do you believe you are wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Score a touchdown, I drop a pass. I always go back to that book every time and just refocus.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
AJ Brown, he has started a trend. Now, I don't know if it will apply to other sidelines in the NFL, but I do know that the book, Inner Excellence, which is the one he said he was reading, or Fox identified it, it was the one AJ Brown says he reads all the time, and he did share a picture of the inside, some of the pages of the book. The book itself was kind of dog-eared, well-used, well-loved, and on the inside, highlighted sections, underlined sentences. And so now this book that was written by Jim Murphy, who is a former pro athlete himself. I think he was with the Cubs. That book has become a top seller. I think on Amazon is what I read. All of a sudden, the orders for this book, Inner Excellence, skyrocketed. Yeah, number one hottest seller on Amazon. How about that? AJ Brown giving Jim Murphy a little extra plug and a nice 2025 New Year's gift. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Now, did you see how Fox 29 in Philadelphia started its newscast following the Eagles' wildcard win on Sunday? The camera cuts to them, and both of them are sitting at the desk reading their books. Inner Excellence. The male host, the male anchor at the desk, he's got a yellow highlighter in his hand, and that's the way they start their newscast, and the camera cuts to them. They're reading, and okay, it's time to start. I like it. I like that you've got that connectivity between the football team and the local news. That speaks well. Also means that your news directors, your producers, your content creators, that they are involved and connected and understand what matters to the viewers this time of the year, especially. 855-212-4227. Andrew is in Illinois. Welcome to After Hours.
Hello?
Hello, Andrew.
Yes, hi. I just wanted to weigh in on the wild card playoff thing. It's definitely thumbs down for me. I mean, when I was growing up, which was in the 70s, it was seemed very simple. There were three divisions, not four, and there was one wild card. So the wild card would play the highest seed, and the other two would also play a game. There was no bye week, so everyone was on an even keel. And I think it was in the early 80s they began having two wild cards fight it out 1 week. They tried toying with a different thing to make more money, and I think it's been off kilter since. And earlier you mentioned, I believe, Minnesota losing two games to somebody. They had an outstanding record, but the two games they lost were to playoff teams. Interestingly enough, and in the mid-70s, the Bengals and Houston Oilers had 10-4 records, very respectable. But neither team made the playoffs that year. It was over 700 winning percentage, and each team lost to the Bengals, lost to the Steelers twice, the Raiders, who won the Super Bowl, and the Baltimore Colts then, which also made the playoffs. But and my point is that they had a record, but they couldn't beat an elitist team. So they didn't deserve to make the playoffs in a way. And it seems to me that I knew the Chargers, Broncos, Steelers, I knew they weren't playoff material. And I knew they would lose, barring a major upset. It's like letting it's like having a merely above average student make the Ivy League. I mean, it's a respectable student, but it's not quite an Ivy League student. Yeah, I don't know if you follow.
I follow your point. I disagree with you. I think to have four teams in the postseason is not, I don't think it's indicative of how crazy an NFL regular season can be. I'm not a huge fan of the, hold on one second, mm-hmm. please. Well, I'm not a huge fan of the seven teams because I think it does, that number seven tends to water things down. And to have a seven versus a two, not that we've never seen competitive games because we have, but what they're doing is kind of, I think, adding an extra layer just for the purposes of two extra games so that they can make more money. And generally, not always, but generally you're not seeing the upsets. But I do love the idea of a bye. I think the teams that are at the top of the NFL, they've worked hard to earn that bye. And we do see how critical the bye is. The numbers would show that the teams that have byes are far more likely to make it to championship games and on to Super Bowls. And that is the body of work work, right? So you're rewarding them for how consistent they've been all season long. I was a much bigger fan of two teams having a bye because I feel like it tends to favor the top seeds even more. But we know last year the Ravens were the top seed in the AFC and they didn't make it. They hosted the AFC championship and the Chiefs beat them. So I do like the six on each side. I know they're actually thinking of expanding even more so and having 16 teams into the playoffs. And to me, that would be a really bad idea.
Okay. I guess it's a generational thing that you're used to the way things were. So when there's a change, you don't always agree with it.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Although I definitely agree with smartphones, and we didn't have those when I was a kid.
Okay. That's all I have to say.
All right, Andrew. Good to talk to you. Thanks so much for listening. 855-212-4227. Yeah, I kind of feel like we're at the point where you continue to expand now and it's going to water things down. It's a little bit like the NBA, right? The NBA has become watered down in the postseason and they've described it or they've tried to disguise it, I should say, wrong word, disguise it by putting this 7-10 tournament in, and it's really just a money grab. I mean, some of those teams have losing records. I do not think, in the very rarest of cases, that you should have a team with a losing record into the playoffs. And what we're finding, and Marco, can you remember, is it 4 years back now that they've expanded to seven on each side?
I don't remember. The last few years.
It does seem like Wild Card Weekend is not as competitive. We've had some. Remember Chargers, Jaguars a couple years ago? That was kind of nutty. Mm-hmm. If you were still watching after the Chargers built a 27-0 lead. But in the case of even these games, like Eagles were only up 10 at the half. Bills were only up 3 at the half. Mm-hmm. But the games themselves, if you're watching, forget the score, they were still fairly dominant, those two teams, and some of the others were just flat out lopsided.
Yeah, I don't know. To me, I think that's playoff football. We've been seeing that for a long time. I mean, we don't get just tremendous games up and down. It's rare when we do that. There's usually a decent amount of blowouts where the game winds up getting out of control. You're there for a while. I mean, the Chargers had total control at 6-0, but it was only 6-0, and then the wheels fell off. I mean, completely and
total control.
They did. They were dominating that game, and then they made mistake after mistake, never capitalized, and the Texans took control and said, "You know what? You're done now." And the Chargers fell apart. You see that a lot in games during the season, but we don't really focus on it because it's the playoffs. This is one and done. We're all watching it. So you have a chance. The Packers had every opportunity in the world. Down, what was it, 10, 3 at the half?
Oh, they were 10-0.
10-0 at the half. Yep. They're right there. They missed a field goal. That was 38 yards, I think it was. You're right there, even though you have no business being in the game. It should be 70-0, but you're not. And then all of a sudden, the things get out of control. That we see that, and that happens in the playoffs most of the time. So I don't know if it's, I don't know. I feel like we have a tendency to assume that it's watered down, and I think the entire league is watered down because of the fact that they want everybody to have parity. They want everybody to have 10 wins. They enjoy that, and everybody's involved. I don't know if I blame it all on the one extra team. I think if you want to make it a little bit better, I would disagree. Instead of going back, I would add another team to have two teams with a bye. Then you wind up with a 3-8. I know you say, well, you're adding another team, another bad team. Mm. Maybe, but I'm taking away the top two seeds that have usually separated a bit, and I have the teams in the wild card that are usually a little closer. And you could maybe have better games.
NFL would like to make more money off that idea.
Of course, okay. That's definitely it.
Okay, I got to cut you short because I've got to completely change the subject. Want to hear what happened to me? This is far more interesting than that conversation that we were having. And it's my fault because I started it. I was looking at my credit card bill. I came back from the holidays. And on my credit card bill is a $171 charge from Roku. I'm thinking, what? I don't have a Roku account, right? I don't know where this came from. And it was actually charged back on December 5th. So my husband and I are racking our brains. He has a Roku account. Sometimes he uses my credit card. His name's on it now. So he's looking back at his Roku account. His is essentially defunct, hasn't been used in years. I started one a few years back, and I never signed up for anything other than just to be able to use apps that were on. So I have a Fire Stick and or whatever the Roku stick is. And you have to sign up for an account just to use the apps that are on there. But I never signed up for a service, never paid anything, right? So we're thinking, what the heck? Then we remember we were at an Airbnb in September, and we were looking for a way to watch Texas, Michigan. Okay, so we're at a wedding. His whole family were staying at an Airbnb, and we end up signing up for a couple of different services to try to get this game, like one of those free trials where you can get the game, because there's only a smart TV at the Airbnb. So we ended up with Sling TV. But we first, now we remember, we first tried Roku because I thought, oh, I have an account. I'll just add something to it. So when I left early the next morning for a flight, I said to him, hey, be sure that you sign out of Sling TV because I'm worried about my information being on the smart TV. We had originally tried Roku. We never got like the code that they send you to your email so that you can confirm or sign up, whatever, whatever. As it turns out, he signed out of Sling TV, didn't go back to Roku thinking that we never got the code, so what's the big deal? We must have been still signed up to that too. And so on December 5th, this is because I looked up, we both looked up our accounts. Neither one of us have charges on our accounts. So whoever stayed at the Airbnb in early December found an opportunity and took it to use an account that was already logged in, probably someone who was staying at the Airbnb and was flipping through the apps and thought, oh, look at this. And then went, because you can order apps through Roku. And they will get charged, like on your credit card bill, they'll get charged through Roku, but they're actually whatever app. So my bill says Roku for Disney. So someone went in and charged a $171, maybe an annual subscription to Disney Plus, because I don't have Disney Plus, so it's not mine, and it's not my husband's, and neither one of us have a charge on Roku, so it's not our accounts. Somebody went in and used it and charged a year of Disney Plus, because, again, I don't have Disney Plus. I use a, well, let's be honest, I use a friend's account. We share. So I don't have my own account. My name's not on it. Nothing. I've never had anything charged to it, and it says on my credit card bill, Roku for Disney Plus. So someone decided they would go ahead and take advantage and sign up to for Disney Plus with my card information that was in the TV.
I'm assuming you cannot cancel this now.
Well, I'm going to try. So the good thing about American Express is they're very good about anything that's not your charge. If you go to them and say, hey, I did not charge this.
And you weren't there.
No.
That day, right?
No.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It wasn't like within a day or two of when you were there. It was a while later.
I can tell you where I was on December 12th
they might
or
know,
December 5th.
Well, they might know where the actual position of a place or whatever where it was charged. So maybe that can help you out.
My first thing I'm going to do is call Disney Plus and figure out how this got charged to my account. When again, I don't have an account with them. I've never signed up for Disney Plus. I worked for Disney for a lot of years. I wouldn't be spending any more money on them. And so, so I'm kind of interesting to get to the bottom of it and figure out. But that's the
that
only
sounds about
thing.
Right, though.
Yeah. The only thing we can think of is he didn't sign out because we weren't sure we were ever signed in because we never got the code. So then we moved on to Sling TV.
I didn't know you can do that kind of stuff, but I would say if it was already logged in, and this is kind of messed up, you're kind of lucky that it was only one subscription that they...
Right.
Because once they figured that out, you're lucky they didn't go through the whole thing and start charging everything.
Well, maybe that would be too obvious. You go back then to your credit card, and wouldn't the Amex be like, oh yeah, this is obvious, it's not you?
Yeah, but I don't know if that takes it away from the other person. I mean, does that necessarily... I mean, you could try to finagle it that you could still wind up with the...
Yeah.
As long as you get what you want. I mean,
I'm going to cancel it. No, it's fraud. It's not mine. It's fraud. So if I have to, I'll cancel the credit card. But anyway, Amex is usually good about that. So that's the only thing we can come up with. And if again, it was charged in Texas, well, then I wasn't there. So they know that it had nothing to do with me.
Right,
it was someone else stealing account information.
Which, unfortunately, I had that once. They were like, you charge whatever it was while you were in London. I was like, I've never been in London. I would like to go, but I did not charge this in London. And that pretty much ended that. So, yeah.
Oh, well, so yes, we're still working to get to the bottom of it. We finally figured out it was neither one of us, nor was it Roku. Disney Plus. Someone signed up for a year of Disney Plus.
I didn't even know you could sign up for a year at a time. I thought it was monthly. Okay, $170. That's
well,
everything.
I hope that's not monthly for $170.
No, because I thought monthly was only like $8. I was kind of doing the math. I was like, I didn't realize it was. Okay.
$170. Like, they just went ahead and got like Disney Plus Premium.
Oh, they might have got non-commercial.
Oh, terrific.
That's the good stuff now, because everything's got commercials now.
Yeah, right.
We're going backwards. Oh, I can't change the channel, and I got to watch commercials.
It's about to get canceled. At A-Law Radio, has never happened to you. Also on our Facebook page. Good to have you with us. Here's our latest sports update, and here's Marco Belletti.
Infinity Sports Network. Sports Flash.
Colin, big season for Sam Darnold, but struggled mightily with the Ram defense all night.
Darnold against the rush. Blitz coming. He's hit. Ball down.
Scoop.
Scooped up. Firing up. Fears got it. Jerry Burst has it. Down the right sideline with blockers. 10-5.
Touchdown.
A leap in the end zone. The defensive rookie of the year with a scoop and score.
From 57 yards out for Jared Verse, Rams punished the Vikings 27-9. Call courtesy of the Rams Radio Network. Rough evening for Sam Darnold. He was sacked 9 times and all picked off as well. But Kevin O'Connell trying to look at the big picture for what Darnold did all year.
You know, I think it's very important we all think about, Sam's body of work, what he was able to do this year, when not very many people thought he would be able to lead a team to 14 wins. Very rare for a quarterback in their first year. In fact, it is rare, the most wins by a first-year quarterback.
Matthew Stafford, 209 yards, couple touchdowns. Rams advancing to see the Eagles divisional round next Sunday. Well, Jerry Jones, Deion Sanders, never looking to shy away from the limelight and might very well bring them back together. Two sides speaking about the Cowboys' job. Reports saying they'll continue to talk, so we'll see if Deion takes over for Mike McCarthy, whose contract ran out after 5 seasons and 3 playoff appearances, but just 1 playoff victory. Patriots now in the hands of Mike Vrabel, gets crack at making Drake May your next franchise quarterback in New England.
Trying to develop him as a leader of the offense, and when our quarterback, you know, when they call the play, like, you want to say, like, everybody's going to believe it, it's going to score a touchdown. Like, with that type of emphasis on how everything is going to operate. And, Drake is going to be his own person, but I'm going to give him some things that I feel like are necessary to help us win football games.
NBA, Spurs too much for the Lakers, 126-102. Victor Wembanyama, 23 points, 8 rebounds. T-Wolves roll the Wizards, 120-106. Anthony Edwards poured in 41. Pistons surprise the Knicks, 124-119. Rockets upend the Grizzlies, 120-118. Clippers, 109. Heat, 98. And the Raptors beat the Warriors, 104-101. Hockey, Edmonton blank the Kings, 1-0. Flyers upend the Panthers, 4-3. And the Flames rip the Blackhawks, 5-2. I'm Marco Belletti.
This is the Infinity Sports Network. Follow us on Instagram. Our handle is Infinity Sports Network. That's Infinity Sports Network to follow us on Instagram. It's a Touchdown Tuesday on After Hours.
Firing for the end zone. Caught! Touchdown! Touchdown!
Takes it himself to the pylon. Touchdown!
1 man to beat 10. He's gone!
They throw in the end zone. Caught! Touchdown! Hey, the guy missed. He's inside the 5. He's to the 3-2-1. Touchdown! Southern Salting into the end zone. Touchdown!
To cast your vote for the TD of the week, give us a call at 855-212-4227. The Baltimore Ravens.
Jacksonville hands it off. Derrick Henry up the middle. He's in the 30, 20, leg race, gone. Touchdown, Derrick Henry. And they're going wild at M&T.
The Buffalo Bills.
Allen rolling out to his right, looking for somebody open. Nobody is. Has to throw it to the end zone for Ty Johnson, who makes a sliding catch in the end zone for a touchdown. Well, who would have expected that?
Washington Commanders.
Here's the snap. Daniel to throw for it. Backpedaling into the end zone.
What a play.
Touchdown! Touchdown, Washington! 5-17! A clutch play in the lead!
Los Angeles Rams.
Darnold against the rush. Blitz coming. He's hit. Ball down.
Scoop.
Scooped up. With blockers, 10-5,
touchdown.
A leap in the end zone. The defensive rookie of the year with a scoop and score.
And your candidates for TD of the week, we had to narrow them down with honorable mention to Dallas Goedert with the stiff arm and the get off me move as he's trucking into the end zone over the weekend. These are the ones we've chosen. You can always submit your write-in votes. Jerry Sandusky on Ravens Radio. Derrick Henry, a beast. 44-yard touchdown rumble in the second half of the Ravens win over the Steelers. That was the exclamation point for Baltimore and demoralizing for Pittsburgh. This was high degree of difficulty for the Bills. Ty Johnson having to slide to the turf to cradle the ball, keep it off of the ground, but then also keep his feet up off the ground so that the touchdown would count. That was awesome. Chris Brown with the calls on Bills Radio. Commanders radio Bram Weinstein is Terry McLaurin, hauls in a 5-yard touchdown and enjoys his first ever playoff win, though he's been with the Commanders for quite a while. And then the Rams radio network, J.B. Long, Jared Verse, the rookie, with the scoop of the fumble and the score against the Vikings on Monday night. So just 4 candidates, but you can vote for TD of the week, or you can submit your own touchdown. I might write in with the Dallas Goedert. We've got your Monday MVP results. We'll share those with you as we head through the second half of the show. John Machota and every segment of our show available on our podcast. It's available every weekday morning on both of our social media sites. Bookmark it. It's an evergreen link. You can use it whenever you like. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.